Drive by home. Hello?
Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, Nikita's calling now. She made a mistake and called me.
Obligations. There's nothing but leisure since that soul. Let's talk about the seizure of Tunisia. The people had their voices heard, ruins in their reach. They can change for the better and have freedom of speech. Change the way that non-believers think, the way they keep the prime ministers replaced, the president's impeached. Signing into Twitter's the only way to hear the truth. People can't take a stand because there's snipers on the roof. But where'd they get those guns from? Is there a chance that the government there somehow got them from France, which used to occupy there? Tunisia was the colony. They used its resources to boost their economy and threaten the people there with jail time and sodomy instead of being fair and running a legal lottery. Instead of sharing the wealth to keep the people quiet, they'd rather keep the money and make the people riot. What's the science? But the government there will still confiscate your card like you graduated from Harvard and hunted by some murderers that want to take your money and eat all your burgers up, make you a burglar, telling you don't try to be an entrepreneur because the taxes are so high that you set yourself on fire. The ambulance goes by pretending they don't see you, and the people, they won't cry, but the people, they do see you. The people, they will rebel. The people want heaven, but the government wants hell. A government like the mafia thinking it's so easy till a hero comes along like Muhammad Bouzizi and uses his education to give his life a boost. All he was selling was vegetables and juice, but the government doesn't really think that they can tax it. That's why the earth is spinning lopsided on its axis. Tragic.
Desperate act would trigger a wave of protest across the North African state. The graduate was forced to sell vegetables on the street to make a living, but police repeatedly confiscated his produce, saying he didn't have the proper permit. On December 17th, he doused himself in petrol and set himself alight in front of a government building in the town of Sidi Bouzid. He died in hospital on Tuesday evening. Within days of his attempted suicide, unrest erupted across the country as people took to the streets in anti-government protests. Police and demonstrators clashed, leaving three dead and dozens injured. Images of many of the demonstrations were caught on amateur video. The latest clashes were on Monday. Security forces fired tear gas to disperse a march in the western town of Tella. Demonstrators responded by setting fire to the ruling party's local headquarters.
And now, you have the Goddess Network.
Yes, good evening, and thank you everyone for joining us tonight. This is the Goddess Rising Network. I am Netra Tanu.
And I'm Empress Nikita.
And tonight, of course, we're discussing justice or injustice, the Eric Shepherd story. And also joining us tonight, we have the brother Sean Quayle of the New Black Panther Party that's going to join us tonight to try to shed some light on what's happening. And, you know, and also to be a voice, to be an extra voice for Eric Shepherd, and just you know, just people coming together, showing and, you know, giving our support for someone that's really, I really feel that injustice is being done. Here again, we do thank our sponsor, Dry Bones, It's a pleasure to be on such a platform with Brother Dry Bones. And also for the people that are online listening, please know that the show does end at 11 o'clock. However, there are times that we do go over that time marker. And if you are shut off on the Internet, you can always call in to the show at 626-414-3504. And for those of you that are listening and would like to get in on the conversation, either at, you know, with your comments or question, we will have the lines open around 10 o'clock tonight. So you will need to press the number 1 so that you're placed in the queue to ask questions or comment. One thing about the song that was just played, that's a song by Paquan and Mr. Green, and it's called Can You Hear Me? And actually, it is a tribute to the people of Tunisia, Africa. And the reason why I'm bringing this up, because I really like that song, and I was also shocked when I found out, you know, the details of the song and what the song was all about. And why was it dedicated to the people of Tunisia, Africa? If you've heard, you know, if you're listening to the song, you heard that there's a young guy, Mohamed Bouazizi, who was a street vendor that actually set himself on fire on December 17th of 2010. And this was in a protest because of the confiscation that has happened with him. He was a vendor. And he was constantly being harassed by police officials, and finally, you know, they confiscated his vending machine or whatever, and harassed him and humiliated him, and this caused him, you know, he wanted to protest, and he just thought, you know, hey, to get the government's attention, to bring about change, he actually set himself on fire. Now, I don't think that I would have gone to that measure, but he did, and of course, you know, some days afterwards, at the age of 26, he did die, but of course his death also led to the resignation of the president that was in office for over 23 years at the time in Tunisia, Africa. And of course, as you heard in the song, it caused a lot of civil unrest. But after that civil unrest and the resigning of that president, what happened, an independent movement came about. And I kind of feel like this is what we're doing now. You know, it's kind of like a shame that in this day and age, here we are as a melanated people, we're still fighting for our rights. We're still fighting against inequality. So, and just to give just a brief history of Tunisia, Africa, before we actually get into talking about Eric Shepherd and what's happening with that, first recorded history of Tunisia was the arrivals of the Phoenicians, who supposedly built the city of Carthage in 814 BC. And 146 BC, the city of Carthage was captured by the Roman Empire until the 5th century. Tunisia was shortly invaded by the Vandals. And of course, the Vandals, that is where we get the word vandalism from. And after the Vandals went in and invaded before the Muslim conquest in the 7th century, because I am under the impression that Tunisia, Africa, at this point, is like the majority are Muslim. Now, also by the 16th century, the Turkish Ottoman Empire conquered the region. By 1881, Tunisia became a French protectorate. And if I said that correctly, because sometimes my country accent throws people off and throw me off, but it was a protectorate. Now, then into the 20th century, there was another rebellion, and which also led to an independent movement, and that was formed in 1965, and the French at that point gave Tunisia, Africa, their independence, which allowed them to start voting. And the first president that they did elect into office at that time was actually the leader of the independent movement. So, and that's, I just felt that I should share that with you guys, since that, you know, since we played the song, Can You Hear Me? And which really touched me, because I think it was Martin Luther King stated that injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere. So, And Goddess Nikita, before I go forward, is there anything at this point you would like to add?
Well, I guess introducing or kind of getting into the topic is where do we draw the line at, you know, freedom of speech? And with that, like, where is it that you kind of fall into a range where you're classified as being a terrorist from what it is that you speak? And what are the consequences of that? So, again, where are the rights of the freedom of speech if you can't express yourself, you know, without feeling endangered for your life?
Right, you know? Right. Exactly. You know, I don't know why there's some people that think that we should take what is happening to us and just shut up and not say a word, because when we do speak out about it, and you know, then we're met with, I guess I should say, like, counter racism, you know, then now we're being called a racist because we're speaking out and saying, hey, you know what, we don't like this, this is not right, and, you know, when did it become a crime to exercise the First Amendment? You know,
exactly.
But
I really do not like when the phrase is used, you know, like if we speak on certain topics, especially if it has to do with race, you know, what about black-on-black crime? It's like that's just an excuse, you know, to justify the racism that is going on. You know, like if the black people are like crabs in a bucket, well, you know, where did the bucket come from? You know,
exactly.
So, you know, for us to try to pull ourselves out of a situation that sometimes, you know, that may be the only way out, you know, not necessarily justifying it, but, you know, you got to see where I'm coming from is that, you know, we got to start somewhere. And then when someone speaks up and speaks differently or even acknowledges what is going on, then others that are okay with the situation, they try to pull you down and keep you from shining your light and giving your knowledge or even expressing yourself. And again, you're classified as a terrorist or even
exactly.
As a racist. How you're
right.
People.
Right. You know what? I think it's really a sick mentality. You know, it really is, because just a few days ago, we witnessed the police officer up in Texas that threw a young girl down that was at a pool party and you know, hit her in the face and just, you know, and he even drew his gun. And believe it or not, there was some, I read the comments, I've been on other pages, I've seen the comments, and, you know, I just think it's sickening that there were some white people actually stating, oh, you know what, that police officer deserves a medal. He did what he should have done. How in the hell? You know, and then I also read a comment, it was a black guy, I'll go ahead and state it, and here again, he was kind of like, you know, borderline, you know, oh, it's where it's stated that the police, you know, came out, you know, and he came out to do what he was supposed to have done, although he didn't agree with him, you know, really roughhousing the young lady, but he thought that, you know, overall the police, you know, coming in to bring order or whatever, that was actually what he should have done. But I didn't see where there was chaos, because supposedly, you know, when you live in a community like that and you have rules and regulations to go by, and I guess maybe they were at the neighborhood pool, and supposedly two guests at a time are supposed to be there with whomever that lives there. But then, it wasn't that all of those young teenagers were guests. Some of them even lived in the neighborhood, you know. So it's like, you know, you have to be kind of cautious, you know, as to where you're moving and really look into the rules and regulations. But yet and still, with the young lady that held the party, when she came out and stated how the fight actually started, you know, they were being antagonized by a white woman, and a white woman that actually hit her and that incited the fight. But we're not going to get all into that, but I'm just, you know, bringing people up to date and just, you know, hey, this shit has to stop, plain and simple. Excuse my French, but, you know, at some point it has to stop, because we can't go on being afraid to go places and to do things because of our skin color, because of what might happen. I mean, the shit has to stop, plain and simple. But going forward now, going ahead and bringing people up to date, on Eric Shepard, and I'm not aware yet that he's been released from jail. As far as I know, he's still in jail. So I'll go back to April 17th was the date Shepard was videotaped with others, other classmates, or other friends, actually stomping or walking on the American flag as part of a protest on his university's campus. Now, Eric Shepard was extradited from Hillsborough County Jail in Florida. He was extradited back to the Lundes County Jail in Georgia on June 3rd, 2015, where he appeared in the Lundes County Magistrate Court for an arraignment hearing where the judge denied him bail or denied him bond. And Eric Shepard supposedly will remain in the Lundes County Jail until a bond is set. So as far as I know, he's still in jail. His family does have an attorney. But I want to get more into the reason why Eric actually did this protest. I don't know if people have actually researched and really got into the reason why. And one of the reasons why Eric was actually doing this protest, you know, I don't know if people can go back and remember the young Kendrick Johnson, and this actually was going to be a commemoration for Kendrick Johnson's life. Of course, Kendrick Johnson, well, here's the thing. Eric Shepard made a video which referenced a protest planned in conjunction with the graduation over the disputed death of teenager Kendrick Johnson. Now, Kendrick Johnson, here again, was a young male that was found dead at the in the high school gymnasium in Lowndes County, Georgia, you know, Valdosta, Georgia. And he's the young man that was found dead. And the first reports came out was that Kendrick, I guess, obviously was reaching for an athletic shoe or whatever and accidentally fell and somehow mysteriously rolled himself up in a wrestling mat. And that's where he was found dead. And because the police department at that time stated that they did not find any foul play, they ruled it as a suicide. Okay, and of course, Kendrick Johnson's family, of course, they thought that definitely there had been foul play, and of course, they had a second autopsy performed, and where they found that there was blunt force trauma to Kendrick Johnson's neck. So, of course, at this point, the family is suing the state. And they're suing, actually, the funeral home as well. And several other individuals are involved. But it's just interesting that something of this magnitude would happen, you know, and get swept under the rug, you know. I can't quite remember if there were protests about, you know, that came out about in support of Kendrick Johnson. But definitely something needs to be done. Actually, this Johnson family has an attorney, Michael Moore, who has, you know, for the past 18 months, still has been researching and investigating what actually happened to Kendrick Johnson. And I think because Eric Shepard was actually bringing attention to that, I think that's what really, really posed a threat to the state of Valdosta, and I'm really thinking that that's the reason why they also wanted him arrested. But here again, let's go back to Eric Shepard. So Eric Shepard, 21 years old, is being charged with carrying a weapon within a school safety zone. Now, supposedly, after Eric was escorted away from the school, supposedly the police found a backpack, and the backpack had a gun in it. And lo and behold, wow, they found a receipt as well. I don't know if I trust that. I really don't, because we all know at this point how the police are good at What is it called? What the hell that is they call that they do? They plant shit, you know. So I'm questioning everything at this point, you know, because the thing about it, they claim that they have a receipt. Okay, with everything being videotaped, they still have yet to come out with a surveillance camera or surveillance video showing Eric at the store, a pawn shop or wherever, and I haven't even heard where they're trying to claim that he got this gun, but we haven't seen any video come about showing Eric in any store purchasing this gun, okay? So, and then, of course, they're stating that he's being held for threats. Supposedly, he wrote a 4,700-word manifesto with full of threats or for social media threats. And I didn't read the entire manifesto. I read some of it. And one of the things that I got from the manifesto that they're stating was a threat was simply because Eric stated in this manifesto that he would annihilate anyone who would come after him. Okay, so first of all, you know, the media didn't share this. At least I didn't hear it being reported in the media. After this incident with Eric and the police supposedly finding a gun and all, okay, now there was a bounty placed on Eric's life. And then Eric also started to receive death threats from the so-called white supremacists, individuals, and certain groups. So now, and my question is, with all these people that have given this young man death threats for walking on a flag, I don't care if he burned up the damn flag, you know, are they going to be prosecuted and taken in, you know, because for initiating a threat against someone's life, you know? So why is, so still, I would love, you know, when Brother Quilly comes on to hopefully answer some of these questions, why are they really holding this young man in jail without a bond, you know? I just don't see it. I don't get it.
Now, what I wanted to add to this is that going back to the Kendrick Johnson story, what I came across is that his family, they suspect who may have actually murdered, you know, this young man. He was only 17 years old. They were saying that he got into a fight with a young man like earlier in the school year. So they're thinking that this person, you know, may have been trying to get, you know, revenge on him. And again, seconding what you said, Goddess Atria, is that, you know, the news report had came out that, you know, he had fell in such a way that kept him from breathing. However, when they found him, he's rolled up in a mat, you know, like his body's being covered. So we
exactly
know there's a situation there. So my question is, someone had known, you know, that this was going to happen to this young man. Definitely the police had to have been somewhere involved in it because, you know, they labeled it as, you know, a suicide. You know, how is it a suicide when he found a way to roll himself up in a mat?
Exactly.
You know, that something doesn't make any sense. And then, you know, to also mention that that his organs had been found missing, you know, from his dead body. The reports that I had read is that this was after the autopsy, that somewhere between leaving from there to the funeral home, that the body was missing, its organs were replaced with newspaper.
Exactly,
so,
exactly.
And that's not being publicized, at least not these details are not being publicized. And this is what Eric Shepard obviously knows as well. So with something that deep, you know, what is the question, you know, what happened with his organs, where do they go, and why is this happening? And the thing is that everything, you know, there's somebody in that's in with this. The boy is murdered, is labeled as suicide, his organs are missing. Like, there's something that's definitely being covered up with this, and that's why they want Eric, because they don't want, you know, anyone to keep questioning and protesting, especially not with that aggressive force.
Right, exactly. And here again with Kendrick Johnson, this is something that happened on January 11th of 2013. And tell you the truth, I had actually forgotten about, the death of Kendrick Johnson until I started to really research why Eric Shepard actually was protesting, what initiated that, So I'm sure that is a case surrounding Kendrick Johnson that the state does not want to bring up again and have people get all out and protest. But it has to be done because it's still unsolved. It's still unsolved. Mm-hmm. No one has been charged. Like I said, the family do have an attorney, Michael Moore. And this guy has been researching and investigating for the past 18 months, and still nothing. So here again, the first autopsy that was performed stated that it was accidental or positional. And then the second autopsy that was performed, they found blunt force trauma. So something happened, and definitely they're trying to cover it up, basically. So we do have a video clip that I would love for everyone to listen to, and this is young Eric Shepard, speaking. And I tell you, he reminds me of a young Malcolm X. And, we have to support him and his movement because, listen, the things that are about to happen and take place, and Dry Bones has spoken about this on his show, on the Dry Bones Connection show. He's spoken in depth pertaining to Jade Helm. And for those of you that are listening and not aware of Jade Helm and what it entails, please look it up and research it. It's J-A-D-E-H-E-L-M. Dry Bones, at this point, if you like, you can go ahead and play the Eric Shepard video.
You all were fighting for you all's freedom and equality against who? The British, your forefathers and your foremothers. 1776, you still had chattel slaves, did you not?
We did.
All right. And thereafter, up until 1865, you released them from chattel slavery but put them into another form of slavery immediately, which was the prison system, the convict lease system. You see what I'm saying? So
okay.
Now we have not only inherited physical slavery, but we've also inherited spiritual slavery under the form of people were asking, why do you have the Bibles on the ground? How do you think we are spiritually enslaved? With that Christianity, that white Jesus, that the slave master has put on the African's mind.
But it doesn't say that Jesus was white.
Now, I know that. We know that.
Saying white people
brought
Christianity.
Revelation 21:13, we know that disproves. Oh, man, we got a crowd
in here. I started some. I did.
Y'all can come in and listen if y'all are going there truly inquire and not try to interject while I'm speaking to them. But we know that Revelation 21:13 says that he had hair like wool and skin like bronze.
Mm-hmm.
Now, first of all, it doesn't matter what is said in the Bible, but what is put forth and what is perpetuated, the interpretation that is perpetuated. The interpretation that was perpetuated was that Jesus was white. Okay, so what do you do psychologically? The psychosis of religion is that people always put themselves in the image of their Savior, their God, so they see that they are one with God and they act as God and they do what they feel God wants to happen for them. God is simply self. Everybody gets this lesson except for the African who has been colonized by the Europeans. So what you do to the African when you give them a white Jesus is you're saying, I am the closest related to God, therefore you defer to me. That subconscious white supremacy that you're instilling in the African mind that African people don't seem to get when they praise white Jesus, but they praise a black Jesus. And they actually start to read the revolutionary text that was actually still installed in the European Bibles. You'll see that Jesus wasn't all docile and neutral or loving. He was flipping tables and clearing temples out with bullwhips, you see, when people were doing wicked things. So when you start to embody that revolutionary spirit as Christ did, was he not a revolutionary in the Bible? So people are saying we need to be Christians. Do you really know what it means to be a Christian? It means not to conform to the social order. Was this a conformity to the social order, what I did? Not at all. So who's God right now? Who's truly acting in Christ consciousness? Not you all. Not them, but us. Us who act in the Christ consciousness. We embody what it means to be a Christ being, a Christ vehicle, a Christ vessel. You see what I'm saying? So the meaning, I want y'all to focus on me. I know what she's saying. The meaning for the stepping on the flag was that flag represents white supremacy racism, which is plaguing the entire earth. You see? So when we step on that flag, we're stepping on racism, white supremacy. We're stepping on those things that mean that we're erected alongside our genocide and our Holocaust. We're releasing those chains from our mental capacity and from our physical capacity.
That makes sense.
Okay,
you see?
So you're not stepping on the people who are serving. You're not spitting on the people who are serving overseas at all.
You're spitting on the idea
of that.
Roxanne?
That makes sense. That makes sense.
That's why I came and asked.
Yeah. Right, and I'm glad you all came and asked because I'm sure the white media put it forth that I am a terrorist, and indeed I am. I'm a terrorist towards lies. I'm a terrorist towards liars. I'm a terrorist towards those who are wicked. So, yes, I am a terrorist towards white people. You see? So, it needs to be understood. And what I was just saying to her, what I'm saying to you all is a warning of death that is coming upon this nation if y'all don't turn from y'all's ways. And this is the collective white race, but not just here in America, globally. All Europeans, you're not even indigenous to Europe. In every nation or every region of the planet Earth that you're in, you are an invader. Go back historically. The British invaded damn near half of the world. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And other Europeans have invaded other regions of the world. But every time you've gone in, what have you done? You have done nothing but destroy. And mind you, again, historically, one thing that most people don't know, it was Africans who brought civilization to Europe. Twice.
Exactly.
Once under the Egyptians, we were bringing in the Greeks and the Romans, and then the second time under the Black Moors, who were bringing in and truly establishing the elaboration of civilization. So that's why we step on that flag, because that flag represents lies, it represents deceit, it represents the glory of white people that they like to put forth. And here's the thing, you can see the psychosis of Europeans where they value the menial things and not the grander things. Where are we at? We're in Valdosta, Georgia, right? Kendrick Johnson's death was covered up. So you care more about a cloth on the ground and me stepping on it with a boot than a black man's death. You're out your fucking mind. White people have been out their fucking mind ever since they stepped out of Europe. So that's what it is.
I like that. I like that. Yeah, and he's speaking the truth. I love that video. I love that. I love this young man's mind. I mean, at his age, I mean, I love it. I love it. And he's speaking the truth, you know, and what that flag actually represents and what it represents or means to white people versus what it means to black people. We have to go back to a time when reciting the Pledge of Allegiance, although it's been altered, but go back to a time when blacks were still enslaved, but little black children were. Am I still here?
Yeah.
Okay, we have to go back to the time and realize, you know, when blacks were still enslaved, little black children, okay, were forced to say the Pledge of Allegiance and do the salute, the Hitler salute while saying it. I mean, how degrading. How degrading. And then we're just back at the point and realizing or knowing that, hey, white people are just used to white privileges under the guise of white supremacy, plain and simple, because we had the blacks that left from the South to go fight with the North because they were guaranteed to get their freedom. Okay, but when they went and fought, majority were put on the front line, and they were not given a goddamn gun. So how are you fighting in a war without a gun? And you just up there giving your life. Okay, yes, that happened. All right, but then after the war was over with, blacks still were not, you know, quote unquote, equal to whites. You know, blacks were still given certain little privileges, but they still cannot be equated to those of whites. So, you know, it's just, I don't know. I have no idea how and when this is going to stop, but, you know, definitely, you know, voicing our, you know, speaking out about it. And, you know, I don't know, doing petitions, or even challenging Congress, challenging legislator. I mean, we actually have to really get out there and you know, be about our work, plain and simple. But here, you know, I'm pretty sure Quayle has probably called in at this point, but before we bring him on, getting into symbolism, you know, if someone could actually tell me, you know, symbolically, what that red, white, and blue actually stands for. I know it goes for Old Glory and all that other stuff, But see, here again, we, because of miseducation, we fail to realize too that this is a Masonic republic. And the fact of the matter is that all the early U.S. presidents were Masons. Okay, they were steeped in the teachings and philosophy of the ancient Egyptian mystery system. Okay, these individuals then transferred all of the positive aspects of the number 13 to rule, govern, and protect life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in the United States. First, when the United States Constitution was signed on September 17th of 1787, 13 out of the 40 signatories were Freemasons. Second, the independence of the United States fall on July 4th, 1776. Okay, this date was timed by Masonic founding fathers to coincide with the astrological sign of Cancer, which also ruled ancient Egypt. Okay, so now the 4th of July follows exactly 13 days after the sun enters into the sign of Cancer during the summer solstice, beginning June 21st and July 4th. Okay, so now the United States was founded on ancient Egyptian Kemetic spiritual principles and beliefs. So when we get in, you know, talking about all this Independence Day and the 13 stars and all that, and, you know, here again, this is coming from an ancient Kemetic system. And this is why I stated that this is, and I'm agreeing with Dry Bones too, because Dry Bones also stated this on his show, that this is a Masonic Republic. George Washington, hell, he showed up in his apron. You know, he was, I'm sorry?
Oh, no, I'll agree with you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to really go deep behind the scenes and really look at what is actually happening, you know, what are the origins of everything that is transpiring in order to really, you know where we stand, where we're going, and what's actually taking place, and if anything that we can do to eradicate the injustice against us simply because of the skin of our color. So, Dry Bones, I do know that we do have another video clip, and it's actually Dr. Frances Cress Wessling, and she's just given a little speech on racism.
Excuse me, right quick. We're going to have to do a reset because of time, some type of time. They sent me this thing saying engineers, and I just was on the line with them to reset it. So I'm asking all callers, because it was something, they were telling callers the show was over, and it wasn't. All callers who are on the air now, I'm going to need you to redial in 10 minutes. A live reset. They just told me how to redo this so people can get back on the line, because people are being told. I got a lot of emails.
Can you all hear me? Can you all hear me on this line?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes,
this is Sean Castro calling. I just want to let you all know I'm calling from this 270 area code. If I need to call right back in, I can call right back in, but I want to let you all know I'm here with you.
Okay. Well, just hold on. If you're not disconnected, just go ahead and hold on. But we kind of figured that something like this will happen whenever there's, like, really heavy shows. We have malfunctions.
Yeah, because it's telling me. Yes, now we can keep. I just wanted to go the whole full distance, so I'd rather do that than it can cut off within the next 45 minutes. So I don't know if you want us to do that. I will, guys, if y'all want me to reschedule. I mean, to put it back into a live. Or y'all want to continue?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm here with you all. Let's roll to the wheels fall off. If we got to reset, we can reset after the fact.
Okay. Well, we'll roll to the wheels fall off then.
I agree.
All right. And hell, yes, we will, you know. All right, so we do have Sean Kelly on the line with us, and I think that's Queen Nikki back there laughing in the background. I know that voice.
Yes, it is.
But you know what? I said this to you earlier. I said, don't be surprised if we start having technical, malfunctions and all that going on, because, hey, it happens.
It did. I couldn't even get in. I was like, I'm going to have the wrong number.
No.
I could not, so freeway, the back of Nike.
Wow. Wow, crazy. All right. Well, I don't know if you guys just heard what I just finished stating here about the, you know, this is a Masonic Republic and, you know, getting into the number 13 and the
we
Constitution. Okay, okay. So,
you.
I mean, okay, so Brother Quayle, I mean, if you want to go ahead and jump in and you know, introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll take it from there, because basically, you know, people are wanting to know, you know, at this point, you know, what is the best route to take? Is it about petitioning the government, legislature, Congress, you know, because we've been walking and marching and walking and marching, you know, and we're still trying to walk and march, and where has it gotten us?
All right, I want to say thank you to you, and to the listening audience, the network of the Goddess Network. I'm happy to be here with you. I'm honored to be on with you. And I want to let
you
know that I am your comrade in battle and a soldier in arms. And so we're fighting the same fight. I want to send greetings from every member of the original Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, walking this earth on the ground, all of our OGs. We send greetings to the members of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense and the National Central Committee. Greetings to you from them. Greetings from George Jackson University and all the brothers and sisters behind the penitentiary walls. Greetings from them. I'm a representative of all of that and then some, but I'm just your brother. And I'm here to be a servant to our people, but I know that, like you said, we're in some serious times. But it's not sometimes that, you know, it's not so serious that we can't solve the issues at hand. Of course, now we're talking about what to do in these times, what to do in the case of Brother EJ, Eric Shepherd, Brother Colvin, as he likes to be called, what to do about Brother Kendrick Johnson, who we know for a fact was murdered down there.
Of course.
Rolled up in a mat. What to do? How do we get this freedom? How do we get our liberation? The question on the table is, do we petition? Well, I would say, as Minister Malcolm X said from the outset, that, you know, you can't leave nothing off of the table. But I'd say that power concedes nothing without a demand. Of course, we want to ask. We want to ask some demands. We want to be able to at least state what it is that we're after, what we're pushing for, what it is that we're organizing for. But I cannot tell you confidently in the Goddess Network that just petitioning the government is your answer. Hell, the government is part of the problem for the black man and black woman and oppressed people all throughout this country and really throughout the world. The crookedness, the deception, the tricknology, the evil, the wickedness, the machinations, the evil plans that come out of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, that's part of the problem in general for the black man and black woman here in the hells and smells of North America. So I can't tell you that just petitioning alone is enough. Now, if you're going to petition. We got to, you know, the old saying is that the battlefield is everywhere. We have to fight on all fronts. So I'm not telling those who have petitions to put your petitions down. Of course, there's strength in numbers. And so the more numbers that you have behind you, the more organized force that you have behind you, the more disciplined men and women that you have behind you with a political objective, of course, the more that you can get done. We've just seen this in McKinley, Texas, and the case of
exactly.
This Eric, I call him Eric Nutcase, this Eric Nutcase or Eric Casebolt. We've just seen this. But no, my sister, petition is not the answer alone. But organization is to organize, to be organized with a revolutionary political objective is the answer. It's got to be twofold. You got to have those that are willing to fight on a political level. Then you got to have those that are willing to knuckle up, roll their sleeves up, and get dirty and bloody in self-defense if necessary.
Exactly. Exactly. Because, I mean, we can't expect that it will be met with oppressive force, you know, and we've seen this throughout history. We've seen this throughout history when we've even with the old Black Panther movement, it wasn't that they got status because they went around without guns. Hell, they had to have ammunition. They had to have ammunition.
Gotta have ammunition. The first bullet I would tell any black man or woman to fire would be the bullet of your mind. That's number one. See, the reason when we're talking about someone like a brother EJ, Eric Shepherd, the reason why he becomes a threat is because he is not part of the status quo. He does not
exactly.
fit the mold of a,
right.
of a
he
young
doesn't
black,
conform.
A young black male. A
right.
young black male who's ignorant, who's stereotypical. A young black man who, as the media likes to point out, has a long criminal background and history or rap sheet. That's not Brother EJ. That's not him. He's a good
exactly.
student. He's a good son. He's a very intelligent young man who is eager to wake up other young men and women on his college campus and wherever he goes about the injustices that our people face here in this country. As I heard you mention at the beginning of the show, you were talking about him organizing on behalf of Kendrick Johnson, Brother Kendrick Johnson. And a lot of people don't even know that. Some of you think that just because you've seen him walking on the flag, you thought he was just some crazy radical out there.
Exactly.
Just walking on the flag for no specific reason. This young man is demonstrating, protesting, and organizing on the murder cover-up of another young black male who was found rolled up in a mat who the sheriff authorities down there said he dived in the mat himself and got suffocated reaching for a tennis shoe.
When it comes to
what we know is true, when we know that we're being killed, we know that we're being picked off, we know that we're being mass incarcerated, we know that we're being targeted, you have young black males and females, not just males, but young black males and females, like Brother Eric, Brother EJ, who will stand up. And it's been that way all throughout history, as you've had it with the Black Panthers of yesterday, you've had it with the RNA, you had it with the Deacons for Defense, you've had it with the Nation of Islam, you've had it with the UNIA, you've had it with all kinds of formations where the youth will stand up. And they will fight against the oppressors. Now, the mistake that we have made, I'd say, in the community at large is, at large, we have not gotten behind Brother EJ. We've
exactly.
gotten kind of scary. The moment the Ku Klux Klan puts a $50,000 bounty on his head, you start to
exactly.
get scared.
Exactly, right.
Some people get this shaking and faking. I've seen some comments on Facebook. They were saying, well, he brought that on himself. And I couldn't believe my eyes. And I'm saying so.
Right.
So in retrospect, what you're saying is that Garvey brought it on himself. Harriet Tubman, she brought it on herself. Queen
right.
Mother Moore, she brought it on herself. You saying that Malcolm X brought it on himself. Elijah Muhammad brought it on himself. Khalid Muhammad brought it on himself. You saying that Huey Newton and Bobby Seale and all
exactly.
the struggles and freedom fighters. You saying that because they stood up for our people, they brought
right.
it on themselves.
Right. I've seen some. Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm just saying those are the kinds of people that you have to watch in this hour. You have to watch their comments. The people who will immediately condemn our youth for standing up and take the side of the oppressor, you got to watch them very closely.
Right, definitely. You know, and Right, of course. But I like what you said, that the youth will stand up, and that is so true. The youth, if they have the proper knowledge about what was actually happening, they will stand up. And bringing that up, then, and I'm thinking, because, you know, we all say, you know, the children are our future, and they are. But maybe this is why, too, that at such a rate now that the government is pushing these vaccines on these babies, newborns, because if they come out mucked up, they ain't going to be able to fight a damn thing. You see what I'm saying? So we have to stop relying on government. We got to stop relying on the doctors. And you know, when do we get to the point where we have a mind of our own? We start to think for ourselves. We start to know for ourselves. Because all along we get screwed up depending on everybody else.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I think that we have done that to a degree. I mean, you look at you look at great minds like Dr. Mutulu Shakur, who's locked down right now as a political prisoner, former member of the Black Panther Party, Black Liberation Army member. He was cleaning up drug addicts, men and women who were on cocaine and other biological and chemical warfare. He was cleaning them up with acupuncture. This is something
wow.
that's not known to a lot of people. We have used our minds and the greatest of our people to build America. I want to be clear on this radio broadcast. Our ancestors built this country with their blood, with their sweat, with their tears,
right.
but also with their genius. With their genius, the original inventions that helped to move America along from 13 scrawny little colonies to the so-called nation that it is today, that came from the blood, the sweat, and the tears
right.
of the black man and woman, the African man and woman, the kidnapped African man and woman, and then other melanated people, the poor. That came from us. And so
exactly.
for us in 2015, to still be having these conversations and still
exactly.
be talking about we need justice and still be talking about we need peace and still be talking about we need civil rights, that is a slap in the face to us all. We have used our minds. We have had our own original thoughts. But I'm here to say, my sister, that every time we've had an original thought or used our mind, some oppressor, somebody has stolen that idea
That's
from
right.
us.
Right. Not only yeah. stolen it, but come in and burned it down. You know, you go back to Black
down.
Wall Street, you know what I'm saying? You go to Rosewood. I mean, all these places, you know, for what? For what? I mean, see, so then now, is there really an agenda now to eradicate the black face or the melanated people from this planet? And if there is, I would like to know how would they survive without us?
Well, they don't know. I mean, when you're talking about arrogance, see, when you say white supremacy, I want you to understand something. Whether you're white listening to the radio broadcast, our people, whoever you are, when you say the words white supremacy, that's exactly what it means. It is a mindset that believes that being white or your whiteness can carry you through regardless of any circumstance.
Right.
It's an arrogance. It's a sickness that they believe now that because they stand as a power or a superpower in the world with corporate backing, corporations and capitalism, that no matter what they go through during anything in time, that their capital, that their finance, and that everything that they have amassed will carry them through. That's the mindset of white supremacy. And so really now they believe. Now listen to me good. They do believe that now that if they can move on the black man and black woman who now they feel like they have no purpose for, because you got to understand, we were brought here as a people to build this country. They already knew that we had nations and kingdoms in
of
our
course.
Mother country. They've already seen us as a royal people. They've seen our monuments. They've seen our statues. They've seen our buildings. They've seen our governments. They've seen our knowledge. They've seen our information, and they knew that if they kidnapped a segment of their people and brought them here west as they were making their separation from Europe and their separation from England, that they could take that same mind and build this nation and then have a massive wealth and a massive power for their future generations. Well, they have done that. And so now
right.
since they have done that on the backs of blacks and on the backs of melanated poor people and on the backs of even some of their own poor white people, they've done it even against their
of
own.
Course.
Since they have,
of course.
Since they have done that, now there is no need for the black man and black woman in their eyes. They feel like they have the structure established. They feel like they don't need us. And so since there's 40 to 50 million black men and women here in this country, now that they have no need for, the plan now is to annihilate them. The plan is to remove them. The plan is to get rid of us. I don't want to say them, us. The plan is to get rid of us. And so you see it first through mass incarceration. Prisons
exactly.
are private. Prisons are not quote-unquote government-owned institutions. They are private stock. A bunch of
right.
athletes, of people with money, can get together and make a penitentiary, make a jail. And so if you are a private investor, your number one interest, your number one purpose for investment is to keep the penitentiaries and the jails full.
Exactly.
Enemies have no intention on stopping crime. For those who believe that there's some intention to stop crime, there's no intention on stopping crime. There's no intention on stopping things that cause us to be mass warehoused and putting these penitentiaries in jails. Why? Because for every prison bed that's filled, for every jail cell that's filled, for every man or woman who's in the shackles and has to work the rotary farms and work for other corporations like Kmart and Walmart and Sears and all these other manufacturers that get their products produced through penitentiaries, if you are a private investor, that is money for you. Okay,
exactly.
So the first thing that they do is mass incarcerate us. And if that doesn't work, then you see these Ku Klux cops out here busting us over our heads with their billy clubs, with their tasers, and with their guns. Now, let's put some frame of reference on this. That's not by mistake. I always talk about how the police descended from the patty rollers of slavery. That they come from an organized body called patty rollers, in which their designation, their purpose was to catch runaway slaves. That was
exactly
their purpose. But you have to
exactly
also understand, you have to understand a law that was put in place in 1669 called the Casual Killing Act. Look this up. 1669, the Casual Killing Act is an act about the killing of slaves, the casual killing of slaves, that establishes that if any slave resists his or her master, and by the extremity of that correction should chance to die, that his death should not be accompanied by a felony. What does that mean? That means that if you are a man or woman on the slave, a black man or a black woman on a plantation during 1669, that means that if at any time, according to that law, that if you were to rise up and to fight your slave master, to fight your colonizer, to fight the cracker on the plantation, that you would immediately be killed. And that you could be killed through the law, and that there would be no felony charge.
Exactly.
Now, I want to also stress, as I close this point, I want to stress, this law was never overturned. So you have a law from 1669 that's still on the books called the Casual Killing Act that is enacted in the minds of every single police department in America. And so when they see the young black males, when they see the young black females, when you see them assembled at a pool party for classmates in McKinley, Texas, and see them assembled on a college campus, a learning institution in Valdosta, Georgia, in their mind, the Casual Killing Act immediately plays by automatic systematic remote control. And if I feel, as a police officer, that you're organizing a resistance or some type of rebellion against my white supremacist mindset, then I can casually kill you.
Right. And we saw that, and we also saw that in McKinley, Texas. We saw the officer draw his weapon, pull out his gun on the young girl. You know?
He casually did it.
Yeah, he casually did it. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And as of today, from what I've seen, that he has resigned. He has resigned. So, but yet and still, there'll be a group, a white supremacist or organization taking donations for him, just like they took up money for the other cops that were indicted in the death of, who was that, Freddie Gray? I think it was Freddie Gray, in the death of Freddie Gray. Yes, it was, and they actually put together a fundraiser. What the hell? I mean, come on. I mean, and then we started out saying, you know, okay, Black Lives Matter. Okay, that got infiltrated with All Lives Matter. Well, hell, if All Lives Matter, then what the hell are you killing up the Black Lives for, you know? But anyways, like I said, the bullcrap has to stop somewhere. Before we take calls, and hopefully the callers that were lost out, hopefully they were able to get back in again. Brother Quayle, let me ask you, what are your thoughts on this Jade Helm?
Jade Helm, for those who don't know what that is a joint military exercise that's taking place.
Exactly.
At this moment, in the southern states right now, a lot of the southern states right now. But I don't want you to believe that it's just for the southern states. The active duty military have already told us and reported that is, you know, basically just an excuse to be able to capture and apprehend and basically lock down those who would, you know, be quote-unquote resistors or those who are quote-unquote undesirables at the right time. What they're doing is they're practicing live training situations. And this is nothing new. They're practicing live training situations. You see this with this military. You see this with police. They're practicing. Why? Because they know. They know. Listen to me. They know that the dissatisfaction in this country from black people in particular, from not solely, but from black people in particular, they know that dissatisfaction will reach a boiling point and is reaching a boiling point. You can only,
boiling point,
as
right.
a woman, you can only take so much. And that goes back to what I said about the plan to annihilate black people, because they have in their minds no need. They believe that they can continue white supremacy and the big power structure the way that it is without the majority of black people who they know that they've disenfranchised, who they know that they've disillusioned, who they know that they've kept out, kicked out, locked down, and had no square dealing with. So this Jade Helm is a joint military exercise where they're training in live situations for the time in their mind that when the people do finally stand up in a most serious way, not just these protests and demonstrations or a few bottles thrown or rocks thrown, but when the people finally reach a boiling point, when Minister Malcolm X talked about the powder keg, he would always talk about how there was a powder keg in the white man's house. Minister Malcolm would say, and that if you're not careful, that powder keg would explode. And so they mm-hmm. know that they have the scientists, they have their scholars, they have their satellites, and they're watching and they're reading the Facebook posts, they're reading the Twitter, they're analyzing the mentality of people, and they're seeing the dissatisfaction. Look at Black Lives Matter, for example. When you look at Black Lives Matter as a movement in general is not just black people saying our lives matter. That's black people saying that, that's red people saying that, that's yellow people saying that, and that's white people saying it. When you have all that culture, all them cultures together saying, look, Black Lives Matter. When you got white people saying, hey, even white people are tired of white folks bullshit. When you got people standing up saying like that, okay, it is a problem for the establishment. And so they're monitoring all of this. And so they know that the dissatisfaction is reaching a boiling point, and so they're preparing early. But they've been prepared for a long time, in terms of weaponry and military tactic and this and that. But I do want to say to those that are listening, now this is very important, to you who are listening, this is not something that hasn't been faced by your ancestors. This is not something that your grandparents and grandmothers and others and your uncles and others in your family have not faced. It's just new in this present generation because we have got so comfortable in the American dream. We've got so comfortable in being able to go and click on our cable television and click and put in something in the microwave and go and watch reality television. We've got so comfortable that we never thought that one day we would have to struggle for our humanity in a real way. And so it takes these kinds of situations to wake the people up. You have it scripturally, for those who believe in the scriptures, you have it scripturally as the dry bones in the valley, that the winds blew on the dry bones in the valley, and the winds forced the dry bones to stand up as an exceedingly great army.
Exactly. The dry bones, we're talking about you right about now. where did he go? Did he disappear?
Yeah, I'm listening. He know the allegory of the dry bones. That's why we call it dry bones connection. That's right.
Okay. Come on.
I want to let this be known to y'all. You have those who are on the internet listening. Some of the phone calls are just what it is. So y'all gonna have to keep going. Only way we can fix it, they're telling me I have to restart. So it's gonna have to. Y'all want to keep going? There's no problem. So just basically, the internet is on. Is the ones catching it at this moment.
Okay, so then, so basically, the ones on the phone lines are not able to get connected in.
The ones on the lines are listening, or who you have now. The ones who are trying to get in won't be able to get in, like I say, because it's telling me, I told you, with the phone.
Right.
So.
Okay, okay.
I can keep going. I would love to have the brother on Dry Bones though, to come on our show. But we do get a little bit more intel because, like you said earlier, brother. But let's just take it for military base. I used to be around with Khalid Muhammad down here in Miami. Basically, our people are not even military ready.
Right. Exactly.
Well, the immortal and honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad is a wartime general. And,
I used to be around him. I know exactly who he is. He used to be in Florida when he left the Navy.
Fortunately, but unfortunately, the conditions will force our people to get ready. That's what I want to say. Go ahead, bud.
Yeah, that's true. And I say that all the time, calamity, because I've been around calamity when we had Hurricane Andrew, and we're not going to react. That's a sad statement, but that's just the way the condition of our mind. Our people have been, we don't play too much, but on Dry Bones, our people have been dumbed down, and they already killed
right.
us. And it ain't no doubt in my mind, they have already, we the last of the Mohicans. We the only people in the Western Hemisphere with weapons. Everybody else's weapons are gone. Every nation on the planet Earth has practically taken their people's weapons away. And I think you're absolutely right about what you said about white people. White people are going to be the ones that fight.
Well, I want to be clear. That's not exactly what I'm saying, that white people be the ones that fight. White people are also dissatisfied. There are segments of white people.
Correct.
Who are dissatisfied with the present order and system that governs this country, and they are dissatisfied even with the ideology of white supremacy. That's what I'm saying.
Correct.
But Dry Bones, you're saying that every other country has taken up their weapons. Okay, but hold up for a minute. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but the women over in Yemen are selling their gold to buy guns. They are trying to, I don't know if it's war that they're coming up with, but the women over there in Yemen, Y-E-M-E-N, they are gearing up. They have guns. They're strapping.
Well, you know, I'm not saying that, because, you know, Palestinians are strapping. I'm not saying that you can't strap. All I'm saying is that doing what's going on militarily, our people have never been sat down and discussed revolutionary tactics. There's a way to start a war. First of all, my brother, you know this quite well. We got too many traitors amongst us. Too many.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And that's the most dangerous of any revolution is to look like you because we don't know where they're coming from. And that seems to be that's happening. Now, I can tell you right now that we don't play on Dry Bones Connection Show. The Moors are a part of that brother's being because I'm going to tell you right now, even black morticians, they know body parts are being taken out of them bodies. They already know. This is a money-making machine. This is reality. This is money-making. And there's no color on this because these people are black and white.
Exactly.
I'll tell you right now, there's no way a mortician must know what's in that body. How the mortician don't know that's in there?
Mm-hmm.
And all these body parts are being taken out of black people, and they're going straight to because the morticians are getting paid. I guarantee you that. If we do some more research, which will be found out soon, that's how these body parts are getting out.
Yeah, that's why we were so shocked. We were so shocked and appalled at what we found out in regards to Brother Kendrick Johnson, and of course, I mean he's not the only one. There's countless cases if you just do a simple Google search of these young men and women who are being killed under sometimes serious or mysterious circumstances, and then you go to open them up during an autopsy situation and their organs are removed.
I've heard that case. That's a very serious case that took place. And let me ask you again, brother. The brother who's in jail, Brother Shepherd, EJ, how's he doing? Is y'all checking on him? How's his state of mind right now?
Brother Colvin, as we know him, brother EJ, as others know him, brother Eric Shepherd, he's strong. He's strong.
Yes, he is.
Of course, he would, like any political prisoner locked down, and I want to be frank when I say he is a political prisoner. You can put him right on the same list as the Mutulu Shakur. You can put him on the same list as any other political prisoner that we have. He's a political prisoner, but he's strong. Obviously, he wants to come home and needs to come home and needs to be able to continue to organize our people and young people. But his spirit is strong. He knows that he's been targeted. He knows that it's a witch hunt, and he knows that he's walking a road that other freedom fighters have walked to take and make those kinds of gains. But his spirit is strong. He of course wants people to continue to organize. You know,
exactly.
If you've seen him walk on the flag and you were inspired by that, I think that people should continue to organize in that fashion. We have organized what's called the Not My Flag movement, flat out.
Right.
Not my and what we want you to understand is that in order to be a nation within a nation or a nation of your own, you cannot have and honor the same flag as your oppressor and then consider yourself a citizen. It doesn't even make sense.
Exactly.
The same flag that former slaves in this country and Ku Klux Klan use are the same flag. It doesn't even make sense. And so we encourage you to go back to what the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey gave you in the red, the black, and the green. The red representing our African bloodline, representing our blood, representing the sun and freedom. The black representing us as a people. The green representing the land, representing growth, representing life. Go back to the red, the black, and the green, and wave your own damn flag. See, the problem is, again, we've been suckered into an American dream. And it has definitely turned out to be an American nightmare. We've been sold the dream of capitalism, and so we believe that if we could just be the best Negroes possible, if we don't disturb anybody on the plantation, if we just go to school, go to work, work our job, if we just obey all the laws, don't jaywalk, don't sit on the ground, don't breathe too hard, don't talk too loud in the presence of other white people, if we just do all these slave codes and all these laws, we believe that we will really get ahead. But unfortunately, As time is telling you and time is showing us, that is not the case. Just being a good little Negro or Negress on this modern plantation does not get you where the dream of capitalism says that it will get you. We have to organize for ourselves. Black people have to have some good earth to call our own, and we can organize to get it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And one of the things, Dry Bones, you ask, how is the brother doing? One of the things that the attorney for him has stated.
Did he have a lawyer? He has a lawyer.
Yes, he does. He has a lawyer. His name is Mawali Davis. And one of the things that Mawali Davis has said is that Brother EJ, he does remain committed to be a positive agent of change and helping improve the conditions under which so many people in our society continue to struggle. So like Brother Quilly just stated, Brother EJ, he has a strong mind. I mean, from the video that I've seen, I mean, for him to be at the age that he is, I mean, he's a strong-minded, strong-willed person, and we need more young men and women like him to come forth and not be afraid, because I think we get so caught up, like the brother just said, we get so caught up in trying to be the best, Negro that we can be. We get so afraid to speak out at times. We get, we get afraid to speak out, on the injustice that we encounter on even a job because, hey, we want to become a team leader or, hey, we want to become a manager or whatever. So we try to stay